nuts. What is this guy? Crazy?
They turned me loose from state hospital.
Mm-hmm. I was cured, all right.
He crazy though.
Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a f*** how crazy they are.
It's more comfortable for you to level me in the
same. It's very comfortable.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. This is a Below Top Secret podcast for the Above Top Secret website. You are listening to What You Know Net Radio. Now here he is, the man that single-handedly set back human evolution 1,000 years. What You Know.
I have no sense of decency. That way my other senses are enhanced.
Thank you for tuning in. Tonight we're going to look at the mystery of the Great Sphinx in Egypt. This fascinating and mysterious statue, built thousands of years ago, has intrigued mankind and held a stoic mystery for many. So join us for a look at the Great Sphinx here on What You Know Net Radio.
I don't feel any shame. What You Know Net Radio, destroying the earth one podcast at a time.
Great Sphinx at Giza started as a natural outcropping of rock. The ancient Egyptians carved the gigantic statue into the stone around 2500 BC. To make it even taller than the height of the outcrop, they chipped out a depression around the base of the statue. The paws were constructed from stone blocks. The entire statue was painted in ancient times, red for the face and body, yellow with blue stripes on the headdress. Finally, a temple was built in front of the statue, as a place visitors could offer gifts to the living image of the creature the Egyptians sometimes referred to as Horus in the horizon. There are several holes and passages in the Great Sphinx of Giza. Some are known and others aren't. There is a hole in the back of the Sphinx, about 4 feet behind the head. It was made by Howard Weiss in the 1840s and has been dubbed Paring's Hole after his engineer. Seeking chambers, Weiss bored a hole 27 feet deep, but the drill rod became stuck. He tried using gunpowder to remove the rod, but gave up so not to do further damage to the Sphinx. The cavity Weiss created was cleared in 1978 by Zahi Hawass, and inside it he found part of the Sphinx's headdress. Later, in the 1850s, August Mariette cleared out a shaft on the Sphinx's back, which he realized was nothing more than a widening in a natural fissure. He also found the peculiar masonry boxes against the body of the monument. In 1923, Department of Antiquities Director Lacou and Engineer Emily Barrys began an 11-year excavation of the Sphinx area. In December 1925, a photograph was made by the team showing the area of the large masonry box on the south side of the Sphinx. Loose stones can be seen, stones cut for repairs, but in the side of the Sphinx body, a large gaping entrance, or perhaps grotto, is visible. It was covered up in the restoration. Further conservation included lining the largest fissure on the Sphinx's back, some 6 feet wide, with limestone blocks and covering the resulting shaft with an iron trap door. Barrys also paved with cement a deep hole in the top of the Sphinx's head. The hole measures approximately 5 feet square and nearly 6 feet deep. An iron trap door was fixed to the mouth of the hole. It has been theorized that the hole began as a means for affixing a headdress to the Sphinx in the manner of the New Kingdom, was later deepened in search of a hidden chamber. In 1980, Zahi Hawass uncovered a passage beneath the casing stones, leading under the Sphinx. He was informed of the passage by two elderly workers who had worked with Barrys. The tunnel had not been documented and nearly been forgotten. The passage is on the north side near the tail and has two parts at right angles to each other. One descends for 13 feet, terminating in a dead end. The upper part runs for about the same length and ends at a small niche, about 3 feet wide and 6 feet high. Items found among the limestone chips and sand included bits of charcoal, small ceramic particles, and other pottery shards, an alabaster chip, a granite chip, part of a modern water jug, a piece of tinfoil, another fragment of red granite, and two old but modern leather shoes. It is possible that the passage was made by Weiss, who had mentioned in his journal that he had bored near the shoulder and near the tail, without providing further details. There is an iron trap door fitted to the ground within the Sphinx paws, between the thinmost four stela and the chest of the Sphinx. It's not a passage, but rather a somewhat rectangular pit that was covered with cement and an iron beam, then sealed with a trap door by Baris as part of its restoration efforts in the 1920s. There's another shaft in the Sphinx enclosure, but not connected with the Sphinx itself. The so-called Keystone Shaft is in the floor of the enclosure under the north ledge of the wall just opposite the north hind paw. The passage measured about 4.5 feet by 3.5 feet and is just over 6 feet deep. A large piece of basalt with one side finished smooth was found inside the shaft. It is likely that the passage was meant to be a tomb, but was never completed. The only completely intact ancient Egyptian royal tomb ever found was that of Pharaoh Khufu, 1039 to 991 BC. Khufu's tomb was found within the enclosure of the Temple of Amun at Tanis. As an example, the tomb of Pharaoh Tutankhamun was found to have been robbed twice in antiquity. A gold funerary mask and a gold face mask found at the Tanis tomb, while being of expert artistry, do not bear comparison to the earlier ones of Tutankhamun. What was a great find was the solid silver being more valuable than gold in ancient Egypt, coffin of Khufu. Clay tablets discovered in Egypt prove that the ancient Egyptians developed the earliest known writing by humans. Tablets that the writings are on have been dated to be 5,300 years old and show records of linen and oil paid as taxes to a king called Scorpion I. This shows that 5,300 years ago, the Egyptians already had a civilization with a king, laws, taxes, writing, police, courts, and all that goes with such a civilization. Can you imagine how many thousands of years of development it took for the ancient Egyptians to get to that state? Many people believe that the Great Pyramids and the Sphinx were built according to the alignment of the stars in the Orion's belt, as they appeared to the ancient Egyptians. In 1954, the pyramid tomb of Sekhmet at Saqqara, a pharaoh of the 3rd dynasty, 2649 to 2643 BC, was discovered. No evidence of robbers' intrusion was found in the tomb. The king's sarcophagus was found to still be sealed with its original gypsum mortar still in place, and organic remains of a plant or shrub placed there with loving care at the king's funeral. In June of 1954, in front of scholars and journalists, the sarcophagus was opened and found to be empty. More mysteries than answers at the Great Pyramids of Khufu on the Giza Plain. 65 meters up the northern shaft of the Queen's Chamber is a miniature portcullis slab discovered by a robotic camera in 1993. Attached are two copper fittings, one of them is broken. This area of the shaft is lined with Tora limestone, which is typically used in pyramids only for lining chambers. In the King's Chamber, all of the stone joints are very tight, except for in the lower left-hand corner of the west wall. Here, the joints are larger than normal and covered by mortar. This is a strong indication of an opening to another chamber or passage. The Egyptian government, however, has refused requests for further exploration. In 1986, a French team using microgravimeter equipment detected a small hidden cavity behind the west wall of the horizontal passage to the Queen's Chamber. They were permitted to bore a 1-inch diameter hole and found a cavity filled with sand. They were not permitted to dig a tunnel for further investigation. The cavities in the horizontal passage to the Queen's Chamber correspond with two floor stones. in this passageway with joints perpendicular to the rest of the joints in the floor. This type of indicator can also be found at the junction of the descending and ascending passageway. About 70 feet along the north side of the Great Pyramid from the northwest corner is a 4x10 foot stone sunk into the foundation at an angle. The joints are very precise, and this is the only stone in the foundation perimeter not at a right angle to the normal construction. It would have been covered by the mantle, but now it's accessible since the mantle is gone. It is very likely an entrance. No further investigation has been done. It has long been believed that the Sphinx has subterranean tunnels leading to each of the three major Giza pyramids. In October 1994, a passage leading to the subterranean area beneath the Sphinx was rediscovered. In 1987, a Japanese team used an electromagnetic wave method to search for cavities in the Great Pyramid. They identified a cavity underneath the horizontal passage to the Queen's Chamber, about 1.5 meters beneath and extending for 2.5 to 3 meters in depth. They also identified a cavity behind the western part of the northern wall of the Queen's Chamber. They identified no cavities within the King's Chamber, possibly due to the denser granite walls. Three potential cavities were identified in the area of the Sphinx. In 1988, a Japanese team led by Professor Yoshimura detected a cavity off the Queen's Chamber passageway very near to where the French team drilled in 1986. They also detected a large cavity behind the northwest wall of the Queen's Chamber, and a sign of a tunnel outside of the pyramid which appeared to run underneath the structure. Egyptian authorities intervened and halted the project. The team has not been allowed to return to complete the project. In October of 1992, Professor Jean Carousel was part of a team conducting ground-penetrating radar and microgravimetric measurements in the pit and horizontal passage connecting the bottom of the descending passage. Results in the pit were not conclusive, but were extremely promising. In the horizontal chamber, a structure was detected under the floor of the horizontal passage. A second structure was detected on the western side of the passageway, about 6 meters before the entrance to the chamber. Soundings seemed to indicate a vertical shaft, 1.4 by 1.4 meters and at least 5 meters deep, very close to the western wall passage. This could be either a natural chamber in the limestone or a completely separate passageway system. What is interesting to me is that the Egyptian government has halted any investigations into the theory of tunnels running under the pyramids to the Sphinx. What I believe is that at some point in time, these tunnels were discovered and covered up by the Egyptian government, possibly because they may have found something that proves that the pyramids were not constructed by the ancient Egyptians, but by Atlanteans. What exactly is the Egyptian government hiding? Is there a hall of records underneath the Sphinx? Are there tunnels running underneath the pyramids? Perhaps the pyramids and the Sphinx were leftovers from a far older civilization that predated the Egyptians. Some esoteric beliefs hold that the tunnels underneath the pyramids to the Sphinx are part of an ancient ritual, a symbolic crossing of the river Styx, if you will, what is also referred to sometimes as passing through the grave, an initiation rite in some pagan belief. Did the ancient Egyptians come across the pyramids long after the original builders had vanished? Is there an ancient hall of records hidden beneath the paws of the Sphinx? These questions may never be answered, especially without the cooperation of the Egyptian Department of Antiquities. Well, that'll just about do it for this podcast.
This is WUKNR, home of Microsoft Sam and some shaved monkey typing on a keyboard.
Yes, Destiny has her hand on my back, and she's pushing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of What You Know Net Radio. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to let us know. Have a great night.
Rebecca Works.